That first song that we played was by Booker T and the MGs, and Mr. Harris is going to highlight that particular group for our curtains today and talk about what they've actually done behind the curtains of the stage. I had the nerve, the audacity to actually ask Mr. Harris, well, what have they done behind the curtains of the stage, knowing that I would get an exact answer, right? But that's the audacity of me. I'm going to also ask that our student host, Justin Hill, when you start your first segment, please start out with the definition of pride. And that being said, I'm going to let everybody chime in by saying good morning, starting with the real deal, Justin Hill. Just say good morning and introduce yourselves, everybody, starting with Justin.
Good morning, everybody, and I am student host Justin Hill.
Okay. And Brielle, our next student host, please introduce yourself.
Hi, this is Brielle, and good morning, everybody.
Okay. Ms. Garner, I see you on the line.
Good morning, everybody.
And Mr. Harris.
Bright moments, everyone.
Thank you very much, each and every one of you. And I want to say music, like poetry, has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. I'm asking each and every one of you to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our quest moment, where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibration. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. And perspective is, you know, more important nowadays in the news more than ever. But today I want to say that Quest Youth Radio continues to review the history of the African-American diaspora with segments presented by student hosts Justin Hill and Brielle Claire. Today, they will highlight the contributions made in the military in the face of bigotry and segregation. And with that being said, I hand it over to the real deal, ladies and gentlemen, student host, Justin Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And it's time for my first segment of definitions. This segment provides the listener with the words and the meanings that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence, not have defined for us. And my definition segment is on pride. And pride could be pleasure that comes from some relationship, association, achievement, or possession that is seen as a source of honor, respect, and etc. And that is it for my first segment of today, which is definitions.
And I have to ask you, where did you get your source of information from?
I got it from Merriam-Webster.com.
Okay. Thank you very much. We're going to start by chopping it up. Ladies and gentlemen in the audience and the panelists here, the reason why we're chopping it up is because of the last line in the introduction of today's podcast, and that is in the face of bigotry and segregation. Yeah, racism just pops out of my mouth. I don't know why. Pride. Why should we be represented in the military services and still be proud? Mr. Harris, I'm going to let you go first.
Thank you very much. Well, pride, you know, when it comes down to military service in America, you know, people of color have always been at the forefront of dying during the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Civil War. You know, whenever they needed somebody to really show up and be able to do something above and beyond the call of duty, they would always turn out to be one of us, you know. And we have shown that there's been a, you know, or we have, we've shown it, and there's always been a urge to prove that we're a part of America also. And no other way, or there's no greater way of proving that other than being willing to put your life on the line. And we've shown that from the very moment we was here. And when it comes down to doing certain things, we have a certain pride within ourselves, because we're not going to let anything go beyond what it really has to do once we're put in a certain situation. And the military and the war, because the United States, we fight a lot, you know, and whenever they needed somebody, it was always us. And we have been proud of that.
Wow. You know, Mr. Harris, with that being said, I want to bring on our next student host, Brielle. Brielle, please present to us right now, of your choice, a diamond. Speaking of one of these people who've actually participated in the military services.
Okay. So for my first segment, I'm going to be doing Benjamin Oliver David Jr. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Benjamin Oliver David Jr. was born December 18, 1912, in Washington, D.C. He studied at the University of Chicago before entering the United States Military Academy. He was commissioned in the infantry. Later in 1941, he joined the first group of African Americans admitted to the Army Air Corps and to pilot training. When he graduated, he organized the first African American air unit. By the end of the war, he flew 60 missions and was able to get promoted. After war, he helped plan the desegregation. He graduated from the Air War College in 1950. In 1959, he was the first African-American police officer to the Major General 2-star in the Air Force. In 1970, he was named Director of Aviation in the U.S. Department of Transportation. He became an Assistant Secretary of Transportation in 1971. David received many decorations during his career, including 2 Distinguished Service Medals and Silver Star. He was also rewarded his 4th General Star, making him the highest within the U.S. military. He is the first African-American to be honored in retirement. He sadly died in 2002 at the age of 89. Again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my segment on Benjamin Oliver David Jr.
Okay. Now, you know, I wanted to ask you to put you on the spot, but I'm going to spare you, Brielle. He actually participated in as a Tuskegee Airman, right? And talk about pride in participating in America's wars to show that we belong. Benjamin O. Davis Jr. And I don't want to get his name wrong, right? Because he deserves all the honors of valor that we can come up with. Tanisha Gardner, from what you've heard so far, what would you like to contribute to the conversation, if anything?
Okay, so I just looked up about the Tuskegee Airmen. So they say before the Tuskegee Airmen, no African-American had ever been in a United States military pilot. It says the Jim Crow laws are a series of racist laws that enforce the separate but equal treatment of African-Americans were used as justification for blocking previous attempts by African-American soldiers to become pilots. But I thought it was very interesting by them over, I guess one, by them having pride of who they of themselves, and number two, just the impact that they made, because they said that they had the lowest deaths within the Tuskegee had the lowest deaths within the pilot industry. So I thought that was very interesting, and how he just revolutionized the Air Force, and how, you know, like now we could be part of it and really make a difference of how he did then and what we're going to do now.
Okay.
And another thing I think is very interesting, it kind of made me think about Black Wall Street and how they bombed us from the sky. And just imagine if we had them at that time to be able to shoot down those missiles, how powerful it would be if we had, like, our own military. You know, when they were, you know, doing those heinous things to us. That's something also to think about.
Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard Nat Turner's daughter. Yeah, that's sarcastic, but I can't help myself. What could I say? I want to hand it back over to our student host, Justin Hill. And please present to us another definition before you go into your dive.
I'm student host Justin Hill, and I'm back with another definition submit. And my definition is is on Valor. And Valor is honor plus dignity. It's gallant bravery and strength, especially on the battlefield or in the face of danger. St. George Valor, when he finally slayed the dragon, is a trait fit for a hero. And that is it for my definition segment of Valor.
Okay. Did I hear you say something about slaying a dragon?
Yes, that's what I found. Yes, that's what I found in the information.
Okay, so now, what is your definition of valor, based on what you've just read to us?
My definition for valor is like being a hero. Kind of like what my diamond segments are on.
Okay, so if you please present to us a diamond segment to give an example of valor.
History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you're bound to find yourself. And my dumb segment is on the Hellfighters. And the Harlem Hellfighters. And the Harlem Hellfighters originated as the 15th New York Infantry Regiment, a National Guard unit. It is also the 369th Infantry Regiment, originally formed as the 15th New York National Guard Regiment before being reorganized as the 369th upon federalization and commonly referred to as the Harlem Hellfighters. The reason what they were fighting for was the motives included adventure and pride. The regiment was initially nicknamed the Black Rattlers for the rattlesnake that adorned their uniforms, and they were called Men of Bronze by the French. It is believed that the German foes were the first to dub them Hellfighters for their courage and ferocity. Members of the African-American community in the New York City's Harlem district had been advocated for the creation of a homegrown military unit, but white politicians blocked several attempts at establishing such a body. And that is it for one of my job segments, and I will be back with my next. And I thank God for listening.
Okay, Justin, I have to put you on the spot, man. You heard the Harlem Hellfighters were given their name by the enemy, the Germans. The German army actually named them the Harlem Hellfighters, because of respect. And then, their own country refused to dignify them as being prideful and distinguishing valor. In other words, they didn't want to give them credit for the work that they had put in. What do you think?
I feel like that's wrong, because the Harlem Hellfighters, they did so much, and they had courage and pride in what they did.
Right. And more importantly, they were willing to sacrifice their lives for the United States of America, and this is what they did. We're going to continue on musically with the sounds of Usher. So when we come back, we're going to continue with our segments. And at this point, I trust that you have been engaged with insightful review of information provided by our student host, Brielle Claire, and the real deal, Justin Hill.
I can feel it overflowing. Ain't no limits. Just keep going. I can't control what I'm feeling. Too deep in it. Any minute. Wanna take you places that no one can find. Put my lips on you just to reach your mind. Let me take you all the way now. Let me take you all the way.
Welcome back to Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. As we continue, I'd like to bring on our next student host, Brielle. And I would like for you, Brielle, to present your first definition segment.
Okay. Hey, guys, it's Brielle again. And for my definition, it is on leadership, the office or position of a leader. Aletta Crane was born September 8, 1913. She went to Harvard University's John F. Kennedy School of Government. She was one of the first African-American women to join the Army in World War II. After 20 years in the military, she retired in 1963. Then she began working for the Rights for Women. Crane never showed anger from the way she was treated in the Army. Crane was one of the three black women out of the 300 to enter officer training. Those three women were not allowed to be in the barracks
with the white woman, which Crane enjoyed because there was much more privacy. She said she liked the Army and continued to follow the rules and discipline. She sadly died on November 7th, 2007. Again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my segment on Aletta Crane.
And why did you choose her? How does her story make you feel? Talk to us at this segment of Diamonds.
How this story makes me feel, I feel like she did a lot. Like, I feel like she was, you know, somebody who was kind and somebody who cared for her country, because she was in the military and she didn't really, she wasn't really angry and sad about the way they treated her, and she kept going, and she was able to become one of, in three, she was able to be go to officer training out of 300 women.
So, you know, my next question to you, Brielle, is in the face of bigotry, segregation, and racism, she ignored it. I mean, how do you have any idea how she might have been able to do that?
Well, I feel like maybe there was times before that, like maybe before she was in the military, she maybe she went through something before. Yeah, that's basically it.
Okay, so you're saying that maybe her past experiences helped her to be able to deal with the bigotry and segregation and racism?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now bestow upon us, Brielle, your first definition.
So my definition is on motivation, a motivating force, stimulus, or influence.
That's your definition?
Yes.
I'm going to have to ask you to please explain that.
Okay. So, since that's my, so the definition basically, influence on motivating.
Okay, so are you sure about what you're saying?
I don't think so.
Okay, so you just talked about a representative from the African American diaspora in your Diamond segment. Do you think she was motivated to confront bigotry, segregation, and racism? Why?
I think so because she was able to control the way she was being treated.
Okay. She didn't allow her emotions to run away. Okay, so I'm going to bring in Ms. Gardner to help you out. And Justin and Brielle, I want you to pay attention and listen to what the panelists have to say, starting with Ms. Gardner. Ms. Gardner, do you have a comment, words of encouragement for Brielle, or whatever? Talk to her.
Okay, so when I look up motivation, it says, what is motivation in a simple definition? It says motivation is derived from the word motive, which denotes a person's needs, desires, wants, or urges. It is the process of motivating individuals to take action in order to achieve a goal. And another simple definition is the term motivation describes why a person does something. So when we look at Aletta Crane and when you hear of her story, it says basically in the 1940s, it says that she taught gym and history in a segregated school in Hangul, Oklahoma. Then it says she decided to move to Colorado to find a better paying work. And in 1942, she obtained a job at the Denver Ordnance plant cleaning toilets. And then she was inspired because she seen the listing for Women's Army Auxiliary Corps. And they posted it to join the military, and she listed. And then she said she was one of the three black women out of 300 women nationwide to enter officer training in 1943. So when you look at the word motivation, she was motivated because she wanted a better way of life. So she went from cleaning toilets to be the Air Force Longevity. She actually received one of the awards was the Air Force Longevity Service Award for bronze oak leaf clusters in the United States Department of Labor. So you see her valor, you definitely see her motivation of how she actually improved her life, and she actually impacted black women's rights and desegregation within her role as the federal civil servant. So I think that's very powerful how she has how she changed the way that we view the Air Force or the military now, because women are allowed, even though they still do have a lot of discriminations that's going on, and I think they should definitely take from the playbook of Aletta Crane to be able to have the justice for them.
Right. You know, before I bring in Mr. Harris, I really have to say, Brielle and Justin, listen up. One of the things that we see today in our society is a lot of people complaining about the conditions in which black African-American people have to deal with. Now, it's one thing to complain, and it's another thing to roll up your sleeve and get in the game and make a contribution that you can be proud of to leave to your family a legacy of valor and stand for something. And on that note, I want to hand it over to Mr. Harris to help me out. But more importantly, Mr. Harris, words of encouragement for our young people, our young student hosts.
Like the way I look at it, you know, especially the people that we were talking about so far today and your definitions today, they really talk about a particular mindset that we have within our community, you know. And we've always had to struggle to get the types of things that everybody else got normally, you know, and it was never an easy struggle, but it was something that we did because we knew that the next generation, your generation, or my generation and your generation, would have it a little easier, you know, and we also knew that because of the years of struggle we had prior to being able to get into these particular spots, you know, we had to be overly motivated because there was obstacles thrown in our way at every chance. And, you know, sometimes we have to understand that we might only hear about the few people that we talk about within our show and stuff here, but there are hundreds if not thousands of other people that have stood up and were motivated for the same things, and you know, they just go unsung. And we have to, and we also have to understand that until we are totally free, we're still basically a slave, because there's no middle ground to freedom. You know, either you're free or you're a slave, and some people don't want to have that stigma on themselves or for their progeny in the future. So they'll put up with stuff that the average person wouldn't do so that it'll be easier for the next generation. And, you know, that's just like, you know, some people used to tell me that no matter where we get within our society or how successful we think we become, we have to understand that the struggle continues. Because if we have to ask for there's certain things that should be given to us naturally, you know, then there's something wrong with the system. And these people that we've talked about, you know, Benjamin Davis, Aletha Crane, these people were willing to stand up and take the shots so that the next generations after them wouldn't have to take as many shots. And, you know, and this is what we need to understand whenever we look into the background or the biography of anybody within our history. We have to understand that no matter how hard we think things are today, they were worse for them back then. And for them to be able to stand up and shine amongst all that stuff is very important.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Thank you very much. I want to hand it back over to our student host, the real deal, Justin Hill. I believe you have another diamond for us.
Yes, I do. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and bounce from yourself. My diamond summit is on Rubbing Rivers. And Rubbing Rivers was born to Willie and Lillian Rivers in 1921 in Tecumseh, Oklahoma. He grew up in nearby Hotoka, where along with his brothers and sisters, he worked on the family farm. After graduating from high school, Rivers worked on the railroad for a time. Then joined the United States Army on January 16, 1944, and obtained the rank of Staff Sergeant with the All-Black Company, a 761st Tank Battalion. Rivers was the Staff Sergeant with the Tank Battalion and an All-Black Tank Battalion, which served with distinction in the European Theater of Operations during World War II. Staff Sergeant Rivers was one of seven African-American soldiers to receive the Medal of Honor. Although this official recognition of this heroic action was not made until 1997. And that is it for my last segment of the day, which is diamonds.
All right. I would ask you to do some more research because he wasn't able to receive recognition until 1997. And the question is, why did it take so long? Tanisha Gardner, we want to bring you back in. And what do you have in response of a comment, if any, right, to the presentation just made in the form of a diamond?
Where's our reparations? Because that's crazy. Oh, my God. Like, I was just reading. It's basically what happened was, it says that the Staff Sergeant Rivers distinguished himself by extraordinary heroism in the action during 1619, November of 1944, while serving a Company A 761 Tank Battalion. Then it says on 16th of November of 1944, while advancing towards the town of Goubling, France, Staff Sergeant Rivers' tank hit a mine at a railroad crossing. Although severely wounded, his leg slashed to the bone. Staff Sergeant Rivers declined an injection of morphine, refused to be evacuated, took command of another tank, and advanced with his company into the Goublings and the next day. Then it says, reportedly refusing evacuation, Staff Sergeant Rivers continued to direct his tanks fired at the enemy's position beyond the town through the morning of November 19, 1944. At the dawn of the day, the companies take advance towards Brokaw, with the next objectives, where they stopped the enemy by fire. Just a simple fact that he did not want to turn around, and he kept pushing, help them within that war. And it took them now to 1977 to even, what did you say, 1977, 1997?
Justin?
That he received the award.
1997.
Yeah, that's crazy. From 1944 to 1997, and he risked his life and his leg got almost amputated. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's definitely valor to the umpteenth degree.
Right. Mr. Harris.
Yeah, when it comes down to Reuben Rivers, you know, again, once we put our minds to do something, we don't let any kind of obstacle stop us from making that happen. And, you know, and he was an example, another example of, I don't care what you do. If I'm here to do a certain job, I'm going to make sure it's done and it's going to get done beyond the call of duty. And when they first started engaging with the Germans had cut a tree down and put them in their way so the tanks couldn't get over it. So he gets out of his tank, wraps some kind of rope or a chain or something around the tree, moves the trees and stuff with his tank, so that the other tanks can get through and be able to engage the enemy, you know. And he had been shot a couple times, and sometimes when your adrenaline is really pumping, the pain that you would normally feel, you don't feel it anymore. And, you know, and he must have had a extra dose, because he put up with a whole lot of stuff and was still willing to continue to fight on. And like Tanisha was saying, he had to wait 53 years to get your recognition for something that you did to help the United States. Well, actually, he was working with France, with the French, you know. But in order to help them, you know, overcome their enemies, you know, he had to put up with his own enemies at home, who felt that just because a black person had died, that wasn't important back in 1944. But... you know, I'm glad he finally did get some recognition, even though it's 53 years later. You know, but it's sad, because a lot of stuff we hear about our heroes and heroines, we hear it way beyond the time that they actually did what was so spectacular. And
I'm sorry to cut you off, Mr. Harris. I think that tactical tank unit, his unit that in those tanks, I believe that they were called the Black Panther unit.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were.
And they lived up to their name to this day.
That's right. Attack.
Yes. I want to bring in our next student host, who has more information to share with us. Brielle, tell us what segment you're doing and present.
I'm sorry, I don't have another segment.
You should have had two definitions and two diamonds.
Yes, I presented them already.
Okay, so just give us a review. Just go back and for my clarity, tell us the segments that you presented today.
So for my first person, I did Benjamin Oliver David Jr. And my second segment was on Oleta Crane, and my two definitions were on leadership and motivation.
Okay, so you didn't give us the definition for leadership.
Okay. So leadership is the office or position of a leader.
And tell us two things. Tell us. Tell us where you got the information from and tell us what leadership means to you.
I got the information from Merriam-Webster, and what leadership means to me is basically one of the, it says that the office or position of a leader, and I feel like this has something to do to me with Loretta Crane, because she was able to go to officer training out of 300 women, and she was picked and she was chosen, so she didn't, you know, she was able to get that position in being one of the leaders.
Right. So she exemplified an example of leadership. You know, I want to say that the information that you shared with us was not easy to do, but you have to make the relationship, and I'm speaking specifically to Justin and Brielle, you have to make the relationship to what I said in the beginning of the show, because it pretty much bounds the entire show together. When we talk about in the face of bigotry and segregation and the people that you presented to us and the definition, leadership, valor, pride, motivation, when you put all of these things together, you know, how does it make you feel, Brielle, and then Justin?
When I put all these things together, like, when I put these things together, and it makes me feel like, I'm not sure.
Okay. Justin, I'm not sure. We'll accept that. Justin, how does it make you feel?
When I put my diamond segment with my definitions, they were leaders and they had pride and for what they stood for, and for valor they had bravery and strength, because like the home health fighters, they didn't get like the respect they needed, because no, they didn't. The enemies, they didn't want them to like get like respect for what they did, and that's basically what I got from. That's basically the connection I made.
Okay, that's a good connection. Tanisha Gardner, tell us how you feel.
I don't know why they got mad when he kneels for the Star-Spangled Banner and the Pledge of Allegiance, because we still didn't get our reparations. Without us, America wouldn't be.
Mr. Harris.
Yeah, well, the connection I had, it kind of goes along with what Brielle and Justin were saying, is that, you know, sometimes we don't look at things as far as what's the consequences of my actions. The most important part of it was the action itself. And these people that we talked about today was, you know, took the initiative to just move ahead regardless of the consequences. And this is important that we recognize this is what happened in the past, and these are the same kind of mindset we need to have today and going into the future. You know, sometimes your consequences might seem like they're a lot worse than they really are. But if you're motivated to move forward, consequences just fall away, and then, you know, you just keep it going. Like I said, the struggle continues.
Okay. And coming up right after this, Booker T and the MG's cut titled Chicken Pox. Right. Mr. Harris is going to present to us our curtain segment. And this is definitely a show that I've definitely enjoyed. So sit back, relax. You're tuned to Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. And we're back. I want to, you know, talk about curtains just for a second. A quick introduction. You know, many times we talk about what a musical artist does on the stage, but this is our particular segment where we talk about their contributions behind the curtains of the stage that makes us, once again, proud. Mr. Harris, I hand it over to you for curtains.
Yeah, well, today's curtains is about Booker T. Jones. You know, he was, you know, like a lot of us, you know, he was like a child prodigy on the multiple instruments, you know, and he came up during the 50s and the 60s when civil rights was still just a thought. There wasn't any like laws and stuff like used to kind of counteract the negative Jim Crow laws that were used prior to that. You know, so along with his music, you know, he was also the house band for Stax Records. You know, him and his group, the MGs. They were the house group, and they helped promote a lot of artists who really didn't have an opportunity to go out and do certain things, you know, as far as musically. You know, he helped put Sam and Dave on the, you know, out there. Isaac Hayes was part of Stax Records at the time. You know, he was part of the band along with the Barcades. But when it came down to civil rights, you know, he was very vocal about what was going on, especially after the killing of President Kennedy. You know, because President Kennedy, he was talking about making some real serious changes in the laws that would bring, you know, African Americans into the same status, into an equal status with everybody else. And I'm thinking this was part of the reason why he was killed in the first place, you know, but he had a whole lot to say about Lyndon Johnson, because when Lyndon Johnson came in, he had, you know, well, Booker T seems to think that he kind of slow walked, you know, civil rights legislation and stuff, you know, and it was very important. And he had did a conference with, and you know, in Congress, when they were asking him about, well, what do you think should be done about you know, civil rights in this country? And he was really not really happy. You know, he said the most important person at the time that was like the queen of civil rights was really Rosa Parks, because being able to do what she did at the time she did it, talk about bravery and motivation and pride, she really stepped up to the plate, and he kind of gave her flowers way before anybody else was talking about her. And, you know, and he was, along with the musicianship, you know, he was really, you know, integral in getting things done in Memphis, Tennessee, which is really another spot where there wasn't really a lot of let's make it things equal for black people at the time. You know, so, you know, he was really, you know, integral in that. And it's important. And the fact that I thought about him because he just recently had a birthday within the last week or so, that's what made me think about him in the first place. But, you know, he was down with the program back before there was a program. And, you know, and it's important that we give people like that their flowers while they're still here. So Booker T. Jones.
Well,
good.
Let's listen to it. Groovy. I want to bring our student host back in, starting with Brielle. Brielle, tell us what you learned today.
So this is Brielle again.
that Bruce Benjamin Oliver David Jr., he was somebody who was African-American, and back then African-Americans weren't allowed to do a lot of stuff, so he was the first one to do many things. Like, he was the first to organize the air unit. He's the first African-American, and he was also the first African-American police officer to receive the Major General to stop. And I also, what I learned about Oleta King is that she wasn't really being treated, because she was a black person, she wasn't really being treated fairly. Like, they had to be separated from the white woman. So when she retired from the military, she was able to work for women's rights. Benjamin.
All right. I'm going to have to cut you off. Justin, tell us what you learned.
From what I learned about today, from my diamonds and Brielle's diamond segment, they kind of go together, because back then people couldn't do many things, but our diamond segments, what we did today, they did everything in their power to do what they wanted and needed to do.
Okay. Tanisha Gardner, what you think about today's show?
Today was a good show.
And Mr. Harris?
Yeah, it was an excellent show, but I just need to interject. My uncle Charles Hensley was also one of the Tuskegee Airmen, and I just was sitting there, and we was talking about Benjamin Davis. I thought it was important that I shout that out.
No, well, that's, you know what? We love that. That means that we all related. We've all contributed, and our family bloodline says that. Justin, please close us out for the show.
I want to thank everyone for joining us on Quest Community Vibrations. Make sure you check out our next show on 89.5. from the FM from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth
the best
radio.
Youth radio.
So is.
And of course, we went a little bit over, but of course, it was more important and a lot more fun. So thank you for joining us again for another edition of Quest Youth Radio. We leave you with the sound of Booker T and the MGs. Thank you, Mr. Harris, Tanisha Gardner, our student hosts, Justin Hill, and Brielle Claire.